welcome back to another episode of LA Confidential. My name is Chauncey Talese, and I am the NFL editor for SportsAldente.com. Great a website, amazing website. You should all subscribe. Do it now. Use the code LA Confidential to get 10% off our monthly, yearly, or lifetime packages. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or, well, maybe not iTunes anymore. Rest in peace, iTunes.
It's not official yet, but it's
no, they said it's going to die.
Yeah.
But anyway, but while you can, give us 5 stars. We could always use the 5 stars. Today, we're going to be talking about some more NFL gossip, a couple signings, some NBA finals check-in, and some gossip, a nice little round of superhero stuff, a bunch of trailers we have to get to. And then later, I'm going to be talking with Kevin Perez-Allen, co-host of the Ravine Report on DodgersLowdown.com. We're going to be talking about how the Dodgers are kicking ass lately, how they might actually win a World Series. So
I'll
anyway,
when I see it,
I know, right? Anyway, Wes, how you doing?
I'm doing good. About yourself?
I can't complain. Let's get into it. So, the beginning of the week, Roger Goodell, who's in the middle of getting the CBA talk started, said he wants to eliminate 2 preseason games because he didn't feel they're necessary.
Same conversation we've been having for.
I know, and it's the back door. It's like, well, we have these 2 games. I mean, now to spare. Now let's make it an 18-game season. And like we said last week, I don't like it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love football,
mm-hmm.
but
16 just feels perfect.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Also, you're really doing a disservice to the Browns and Lions who went 0-16.
Exactly.
Now they're not the worst ever because then someone's going to be chasing 0-18.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if they're really going to sit there and try and change things up, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could sit there and expand the playoffs.
I don't like
but
that either.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you want to sit there and
tweak
feels,
it, then... It still feels perfect. I like the 2 wild cards because, like, you don't want that 3rd wild card team where it's like, well, they're 7-9.
Well, no, I know. We don't need another Seattle Seahawks.
Right, and it's like, well, they won, but no, still, it's like...
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
But they won their division. That's the difference.
But, okay, but if you're going to sit there and try and expand, like, you're going to take 2 preseason games away, like, at least make it beneficial to the fans and make it entertaining for, like, you know, like a playoff game or...
But you're not guaranteed a playoff game, though.
No, I know, but, like, expand the playoffs and everything, that way...
How would you expand it? Like, what would it be? Would it be, so, 8 in each conference? So, NBA and hockey it?
Yeah.
So, does that mean that the... Well, what do you do with buys?
I don't know, you're putting me on the spot here, Talese.
Ha! I'm just saying...
I like playoff football better than just regular season football.
Well, yeah. There's stakes to it.
Exactly.
But I just like the system the way it is. I don't see the point of having to be greedy and try to, like, force more games.
Exactly. I'm good with the current system right now. Don't change it. Roger Goodell, if you're listening.
He does subscribe like you all should.
Yeah.
I don't know. They keep trying to make that 18-game thing happen, and I think one day eventually they're gonna. But I don't want it to, because it just the math works better. I like being like, oh, they went 10-6 this year. I then have to, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I have to think about it. Like,
exactly.
2 extra games.
Yeah, like, oh.
It's like, well, do I get fired because I went 9-9? Or
like, we don't need to get into basketball rules here.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'm sure that'll keep popping up as training camp gets underway later in the summer. Gerald McCoy signed to the Carolina Panthers for 1 year, 8.5. I was surprised.
Yeah, I see this as him, like, kind of getting back at Tampa Bay since, you know, obviously a division rival.
I guess he didn't want to leave the South.
Yeah.
But damn, like...
I would have figured he would have... Because he came out saying he wants to win, like
yeah.
any player should, like, hop on that Browns,
Ravens.
Right yeah,
it,
honestly.
Did he visit anywhere else? I forget.
I think Cincinnati was coming up after Carolina, but...
Yeah. I just don't know. The Panthers just seem like a 6-10, 7-9 team because we don't know about Cam.
Exactly. And if you're going to base your destination on solely who's going to win.
And that's a tough division because Atlanta's going to be a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, and you got Drew Brees and the Saints coming back after that.
I mean,
that controversial game.
Nope, almost.
Come on, take the bait.
Nope. Nope, we have all summer to do that. All summer.
They got robbed?
All right. Well, the Rams do play Carolina week 1, so that'll test the Rams' young offensive line.
Yeah.
Note Boom and Brian Allen will definitely get a lot of work that week. And Austin Blythe, I guess, because he'll be lined up on the right side. Troy Hill re-signed to the Rams for some reason. I mean, I guess they need corner depth, but I don't know about giving him all that money. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but for him it is. Because he was, like, fine, but he would get burned a lot, and I don't know. I guess depth is okay? I don't know.
Well, and who's to say that he doesn't make it in training camp? Obviously, yes, it's a lot of money, but no, you never know.
They're not going to cut him, because now they're, like, in it with him. They could have just let him go after the year.
That's true.
Yeah, well, whatever. But Morgan Fox is now back doing in OTAs, which is nice. They have an extra pass rusher. They were missing him last year. They really needed him last year.
Yeah.
And then, I read a couple stories about how Goff has been trying to improve post Super Bowl that are encouraging. Dante Fowler's like really being embraced by the defense, which is weird because I was surprised he came back.
Yeah.
But
they signed him to another 1 year.
They signed him to 1 year. That's why I'm surprised. I was like, oh, okay. I thought some other team was going to be like, just pay him a bunch of money because no one else is going anywhere.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. I mean, if they're gonna just be better by virtue of being like a complete team for a second straight year, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Terrell Pryor's on the Jags. Is sure.
Well, you know they gotta have that.
Well, they do. They just need receivers. Yeah. Like honestly, I know they probably
who do they have?
It's still Marquise Lee and. They got rid of what's his face that they signed last year, right?
He's with the Patriots now.
Who also released Austin Seferian Jenkins in a move we all could have predicted.
Yeah,
the minute he was signed.
Yeah,
I feel bad. I hope he gets his life together, but you know, at a certain point,
I think at this point, like
it's sad. He's tight end Justin Blackmon.
Yeah. Bummer. Oh, God, yeah. Forgot about Justin Blackmon.
I know, I still laugh every time. Like, I was, like, legitimately mad when I was, like, following the drafts on my phone that year, and, like, Jacksonville took him, like, no!
Yeah.
It was the year they drafted Brandon Brockers, or Michael Brockers, my bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
I don't like you doing that. But anyway, they drafted Brockers. I'm like, all right, well, that's okay, I guess. And Justin Blackmon flamed out. I was mad they also missed out on Maurice Claiborne. It's like, fucking Cowboys. And it ended up working out.
Yeah, and now he's still a free agent.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was still a Jet.
No, he only signed with the Jets for, I think they had a 1 year improvement deal.
Oh, wow.
So he's one of those guys that's still available. Well, same with, like, Eric Berry.
Eric Berry, it's a different case.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Eric Berry, it isn't his fault he's available.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Jets, they're looking to sign that guy from the Eagles to run their team, which is great, except for the part where he basically is buying a house where someone clogged the toilet and then lit the other half of it on fire.
Well, I love how you know, the big speculation since they fired their GM is, are they going to sit there and trade Le'Veon Bell?
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
And Bell came out today and was like, no, my relationship with Adam Gase is great. Like, we're firing on all cylinders. Like,
considering the guy who signed you got fired, yeah. I don't know, man. Man, I'm loving the battle to the race to the bottom with the Giants and the Jets.
I know, like, they have that new, well, it's not new anymore, but, you know, they have the shared stadium, mm-hmm. and it really seems like they're both trying to, like, here, who's going to suck more?
I know, right? I mean, at least the Giants won a title since they moved into the new building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Jets, at least that's a better situation quarterback-wise, maybe? Maybe?
Yeah, I think it's still too early to tell.
They didn't draft a loser from Duke, and they don't have Eli Manning's corpse, so that's something.
That's true.
I mean, Sam Darnold isn't, like, costing him anything.
Exactly. I mean,
although those picks they gave up to the Colts, so the Colts can move up, looks really bad. Or so they can move up to take him, looks kind of bad in retrospect, because the Colts have been just, like, reigning good players.
Yeah.
Well,
I think, you know, good for Andrew Luck to finally get some help. Like,
mm-hmm.
like if there's any player that really needed the help, it was him after those shoulder surgeries.
Which basically the Panthers, I think, are going to be what the Colts were 2 years ago.
Yeah. I could totally see that.
Like, just a lot of like, well, I mean, Newton might be able to throw this week. I don't know. And then it gets to be week 15. It's like, yeah, we're shutting him down.
Yeah.
Let's see. But Terrell Pryor should be good for the Jags, I think, because, A, they don't have any weapons. So by virtue of, or by default, he's going to probably be the go-to guy.
Yeah, and, you know, in college he played, yeah, he played quarterback in college.
He did. So, but who was he with last year? Was it Washington, or he just, like, flamed out?
Yes.
Because some teams spent, like, money or traded for him. It's like, oh, here
we go.
I know
he was with the Jets.
Oh, here we go.
And then I think he went to Washington last year.
Mm-hmm. And
like,
everyone tried to get him too high in fantasy.
Yeah.
He's like, here you go, you guys.
This is the year.
Alex Smith, Terrell Pryor, lock it up, and then nothing happened.
I mean, the Redskins just had a couple bad breaks.
Oh, too soon.
What are you talking about? It's almost been a year.
No, it hasn't. He did that like late in the year.
I don't care. It's not nice. Football season.
It's not nice. I don't hate Alex Smith.
I don't hate Alex Smith either. I'm just saying. Leave it to the Redskins.
Mondo would be very upset about that. The man is consistent.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of disgruntled players, Duke Johnson reportedly still wants a trade.
I don't blame him.
Well, yeah, and then Baker Mayfield's calling him out today about that.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did.
Well, like, I mean, do you blame Duke? Like, he got drafted, and then they signed
Carlos Hyde.
Then they traded for Carlos Hyde that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then this offseason, they got Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drafted.
Well, but that doesn't count. They can't. But Kareem Hunt won't play for them.
Oh yeah, he suspended 8 games. but you know, that's all right. You got Kareem Hunt, and then who was their other back?
The rookie last year.
Yeah, what's his name?
Ah, hell. Off season, baby.
Yeah.
hold on, because I remember I loved him in fantasy last year. I mean, I didn't have him, but
yeah. But that's what I'm saying though. You have him, and then I think you still
Chubb.
Have Chubb. There we go.
Not Bradley Chubb. The other Chubb.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Mr. Chubb.
Yeah. They're on the same damn college team, too. That's the annoying part. Hold on. Nick Chubb. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, because Kyle had him.
That's right. That joke never got old, by the way.
Nope.
Never. Never got old. Anyway.
But, I mean, you have him. And I think Carlos Hyde, if he's still on the team. I don't know if he still is.
No, I don't think so.
But, you know, based on the roster and everything, he's already third string just based off of those two choices.
Yeah, he's not going to get those carries because it's going to be a lot of Chubb and Carlos Hyde probably if he's still on the team.
Versal, Chubb.
I know, right? But what would you say, like, who would trade for Duke Johnson? Because I have a perfect team in mind.
Okay.
Because it probably wouldn't cost him more than a fifth
at
this point, or a fourth, maybe. And even then, worth it. Considering they've been a running back graveyard for like 10 years.
I could say Oakland.
No, that's a good guess, but no.
Oakland.
Because they're okay.
Okay.
Like they've got
NFC.
NFC.
You said they've been a graveyard for 10 years?
Oh, my God. Like, maybe longer. Like, I can't remember the last legitimate running back they've had.
Okay.
It might not even have been when they had their current quarterback. Come on.
Really making me think here.
Come on.
That's the hard thing. I'm trying to remember all the NFC teams and their running backs.
Like, it's been a graveyard.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Getting warmer.
Oh, Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
If the Packers traded, like, a fourth and, like, a sixth next year to Cleveland, like, that'd be worth it because they'd have, like, a legit running back for once. They're not like, well, Ty Montgomery.
Well, you still have Ty Montgomery's not even on the
team. I know, that's what I mean. But, like, Ty Montgomery, he wasn't even really a running back.
No, he was a receiver that...
That's why
switched over to running
back
because
I think the last legitimate running back they've had was Amon Green. Like Eddie Lacy doesn't count.
What about Aaron Jones?
Like how long did that last though?
He's still on the team.
Oh, well, see, that's my point.
Yeah, he's like, their starter right now.
Like, the last legit running back I think they've had is Amon Green. And that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like, when's the last time you're like, it's a good running game? It's those Packers.
Well, I mean, when you got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, before that you got Brett Favre.
Cool story, but, like, you need more than, like, that.
Well, yeah, you
Mike guess, McCarthy.
Yeah.
That's why you got fired, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, if Duke Johnson would, like, be a boon for them.
Well, I think Duke Johnson, wherever he goes, other than Cleveland, would be good.
Well, who else? But I'm just trying to think, like, who else, like, really needs him? Like,
yeah.
Miami won't, because I think they're trying to... They're trying to get by with, like, Twigs and Barry... Twigs and Spit, you know? Houston, they can't. Or Minnesota can't, because they don't have the money.
Yeah.
Like, Green Bay needs it.
I could see maybe the Bears, since they got rid of Howard.
No. They're, like... They got
but also... It depends on... You know, how Cohen does this year.
Right. And they may have drafted someone, too.
Probably.
But, like, that would be perfect. And, you know...
Or I can see... I can totally see, like, Philly doing that. Or, like,
no, they're... No, Philly... Dude, last week... Remember we were talking about Brian? Like, Philly just has, like, an embarrassment of riches at running back.
I know, but...
Like, they just have too many...
Based on the recent years of their moves, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it.
Yeah, but, like, they'd have to already cut... They already have to cut people, so I don't know what they do.
I wouldn't put it past them, because I hate them so much.
I know. I'm just saying. Seattle could theoretically do it, too, because they don't really have anything at running back, either. They just have a collection of dudes.
Yeah.
And now that they're blocking...
But, shoot, they were the...
Now their blocking system works again, because they fired Tom Cable.
Yeah.
That's the big reason. Like,
love Tom Cable.
No, you don't.
That guy's a piece of shit.
I know.
Oh man!
Like he was like a character on like Friday Night Lights. So he was like the coach who like would get into it with like Coach Taylor during the middle of the week.
Yep.
And then get embarrassed.
Yep.
But Green Bay should like they really need it. They really need that shot in the arm. Where else are they gonna get quality running back? Yeah. Exactly. Nowhere.
Yeah. There's. Play the cricket sound right now.
Crickets. Was there anything in Cowboys Corner, or can we move on?
Yeah, there's always some good in Cowboys Corner.
Okay. Because
we're America's team, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank on his name now.
Oh, no. Wow.
God, he missed all of last year.
Oh, that's why I don't remember his name. It's not worth it.
No, he's totally worth it. Oh, my God. What is his name? I almost said Joe Looney, too.
Hold on.
I'm looking it up right now.
Travis Frederick.
There we go. How can I...
I know. How dare you? But, hey,
The man's beard is legendary. Well, but, anyway...
I know. I heard he's getting back in shape.
Yeah, he's back in practice.
Good for him.
They're showing clips of him working with Dak and, you know, getting the hike. Obviously hiking the ball and then play calling and all that. So it's great to see him back, especially after, you know, being diagnosed with the autoimmune disease he had.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, good for him. Like,
well, if he can come back healthy, that'd be a real boon for the Cowboys.
Yeah. And again, like Joe Looney did a great job last year. And
is he able to play guard or is he just a center?
Who?
Looney.
Yeah, he was a guard center. He was one of those guys you could just plug in wherever.
There you go. That's even better for you.
Yeah. So, you know, if we get an injury or, you know, maybe he sits there and he makes it in for that left guard spot. But
there you
that's go. What they're sitting there saying that they might move, what's his name? Connor Williams to right tackle spot. Or
mm-hmm.
Right tackle?
Well, yeah, it'd have to be because, you know.
Oh, no, they're saying that next year if we don't retain Lil Collins.
Oh, well, you probably, and you probably won't.
Yeah. But that's all I had is that Travis Frederick is
okay.
Back and practicing and right. Looking good as ever.
That's the NFL portion. I'm sure, again, we keep saying that nothing will, there'll be a week where nothing happens, but, you know, we've been getting lucky.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Exactly. Next week, we'll be talking about Duke Johnson getting traded to the Packers.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. The NBA Finals. We're recording this before Game 3, which is Wednesday. The Warriors and Raptors are tied 1-1, and it's a miracle the Warriors won game two, considering they don't have a team anymore. It's just Curry, Iguodala, and Green, and dudes.
Yeah, I saw that, what was it, Klay Thompson got
injured? Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Klay's a badass, and he'll probably gut it through game three. I mean, if it's on his push-off leg, his shot's going to look really bad, but...
Because it's in...
It's in Oakland.
Yeah.
The next two are in Oakland, then it goes back to Toronto, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But then they also are without Kevon Looney. He fractured his collarbone. Durant's been ruled out for game three. I know,
You know what's going to happen, right? Like, they're going to sit there, and if Golden State wins this, they're like, oh, see, like... greatest team of all time, and they overcame the odds. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to bag on them, because you know they're the champions for a reason.
No, what's gonna happen is
a lot of haters are gonna come out.
Well, no, but it's gonna go the other way too, where like if Curry wins Finals MVP, it's more like, well, look how many people had to get knocked out of the team before he finally won it.
Yeah,
because you know Curry can score 32 points in a game. It's like, well, he still sucks, which I don't understand. Like, I've never seen it.
He's the all-time leader in playoff threes or something like that.
But it's like, NBA Twitter's like any other Twitter is a very disgusting, vile place and needs to be burnt to the ground. But
it's not going to happen anytime soon.
I know. Well, but like the Curry stuff, I really don't understand. It's like there's like a lot of bitterness that like, oh, anytime like he has a bad game, see, he told you he sucks, he's overrated. When he has a good game, who cares? Like whatever. He still have Durant. It's why.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, except that he's a really good guard. I'm sorry he's not, like, Iverson or Kobe or anything, but...
And I could sit there and kind of piggyback off of that. Like, that's what a lot of people say about my boy Tony Romo.
Yeah, here's the difference. You know what the big difference is?
Well, obviously, yeah, because he never won a championship.
Or an MVP.
Yeah.
Or two.
Okay.
Curry has back-to-back MVPs.
Okay.
Three titles. Like, it's just weird. It's just weird.
I know, like, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
as much as we hate Tom Brady, we don't go, like, well, he sucks. Like, he just had, like, all these people around him.
He's got a terrible 40 time.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Avocado ice cream isn't really for cardio.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, just really strange. But if they can get out game three, which, by the way, Toronto should be ashamed of themselves for losing, too, because the Warriors didn't really score for the last, like, 2 minutes of that game.
Well,
and they just hung on.
Didn't they? They went on like a 20 to...
They went an 18-0 run to open the third quarter. Then Klay goes down.
Yeah, and then they had 2 points or whatever in the final.
Yeah,
Iguodala
made a last-second shot to preserve the win.
Yeah.
But my God, like, it was a real rock fight. And, like, Pascal Siakam shrieking for the Raptors was bad. Like, Kawhi can only do so much by himself. Like, Van Vliet, for whatever reason, you know, disappeared. And Marc Gasol, that wasn't really scoring. That's got to happen, and they got to get that back together, because there's no reason they should be down any games of this Warriors team right now, just because they actually have no injuries.
Yeah.
It's very weird. But
maybe the pressure's getting to them.
What sucks is for them, for the Warriors, is like game three, I'm sure, is going to be another grinder, and then you have game four on Friday. So and by which point, like, Durant still won't be back. But I'm surprised DeMarcus Cousins has actually played well, considering he's coming back from a torn quad.
Oof.
I know. In a year where he was already coming back from an Achilles injury.
Oh, jeez.
But he's found new life by, like, being a passing guy.
Hey, you know what?
And rebounding, which whatever works.
Yeah, change your game up and...
make it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure they'll try to post him up, too, if he's feeling frisky, but he's still not in shape yet.
Yeah.
A couple off-season stuff, that stuff's heating up, which is always fun. Jimmy Butler is looking like he's going to re-sign at the Sixers. Which, thank Christ, because now I don't have to worry about the Lakers going, well, I guess we need Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker is the interesting one for me, because he might be taking that supermax he earned by making third-team All-NBA. I think it's like, what did we say? It was like 5 years, 240 mil?
I think so, yeah.
He might take it if the Hornets offer it to him, which they have to really think about that, because the rest of their team is clogged cap-wise. Like, I don't think Michael Jordan can burn more money if he was at the craps table at Atlantic City. Jesus Christ.
Well, he's going to do
Hanes commercials.
Hanes commercials, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Hanes. I'm sure he doesn't care, because he's got that documentary coming out on ESPN next year that I really want to see.
Yeah.
But, oh boy, because Kemba's like the sleeping giant in all this, because, like, everybody wants a point guard. And, like, he was linked to be with Kevin Durant in New York if Kyrie Irving goes to Brooklyn, like Stephen A. Smith and our friend Colin Coward was reporting, which I don't know how to feel about that, because on one hand I'm like, well, the Lakers are going to get Kyrie, but then I'm like, I don't really want Kyrie. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and batshit crazy.
And moody, and he'll just really, you know, crush the locker room.
Yeah.
But he's looking like he's going to go to Brooklyn now, which means D'Angelo, if Kemba resigns the Hornets, D'Angelo Russell's value auto goes, like, way up. And the Lakers obviously can't get him because he doesn't want any part of that anymore.
Yeah.
They traded him to get rid of one of their bad contracts, all because he outed Nick Young as a cheater. And he's not even on the team anymore. Remember that story? Was it Instagram or Snapchat? Some other girl while he was dating Iggy Azalea.
I want to say, I think it was Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, D'Angelo Russell accidentally added him as, like, cheating on Iggy Azalea. So then the Magic's like, well, we got to trade him. He's an immature character guy. It's like, well, he was 19 at the time, and he had a really good year this year in Brooklyn, so that looks really good in retrospect.
Yep.
And they only traded him just so, and Brooklyn was willing to take Timothy Mozgov's awful contract out just to get D'Angelo Russell. That should tell you something.
Yeah.
But now the Brooklyn Nets are on the rise, and if they were to get Kyrie Irving, who was on the Celtics, and, you know, the Celtics just strike out in free agency, it'd make me so happy. Because after they made that trade, do you remember the trade they made with Brooklyn, like, in 2013? Like, Brooklyn took Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce's corpses, where the Celtics got every single Brooklyn Nets pick until this past year. Yeah. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
And the Nets got to one playoff series, and that was it. And then it was just garbage, and they couldn't do anything about it because they couldn't draft anybody.
Yeah.
But they retroactively win this trade, that'd be amazing. Suck it, Boston. I can't wait for them to lose the Stanley Cup, and I can't wait for the Celtics to, like, blow it up.
I don't know. I think they're...
It's 2-1. It's 1-1 or 2-2?
I want to say, I think it's 2-1.
Oh, no, they tied it. They tied it the other night.
Why don't, like, Boston, like, crush the Blues and it was, like, 7-1 or something like that?
No, but then the Blues won last night. Because they, had John Hamm in the building because he's part of the Missouri Mafia. Oh. It's him, Paul Rudd, and Joe Buck.
There you go.
But it's 2-2, and Chara broke his jaw on the Bruins. They're like, he might not be ruled out for Game 5. I'm like, oh my God.
See, that's why I love hockey. You get all these, like, crazy injuries, and they're like, I'm good.
Well, hockey, they don't disclose injuries. They're like, that's a lower body injury.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell does that even mean?
I broke both my ankles, and I can still skate.
Yeah, right? But, as far as the Lakers go, David Griffin, the new GM of the Pelicans, has said Anthony Davis is available. And the three teams that Davis wants to go to, it's the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Lakers. So if you're the Celtics, so you don't really want to trade your whole team for him because he's probably not going to re-sign with you.
Yeah.
So suck it, Boston. That war chest they've been building for, like, this entire decade is going to get him nothing but, like, an Eastern Conference Finals last year, and that's it.
Hey.
But Danny Ainge is a genius, right?
Yep.
Also, the Lakers hired Lionel Hollins, former coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, to be on their staff. So they have three former head coaches on their staff now. So that'll be fun.
Well, it's just insurance. So if the main one falters, LeBron
has multiple people to usurp Frank Vogel.
Yep.
But I guess it's a good thing to have adults, because I guess that was part of the problem with Luke Walton.
Yeah.
Because I guess his staff was just super young and inexperienced. But hey, we're still alive for Anthony Davis. Yay!
There we go.
And LeVar Ball was on First Take. I didn't watch a minute of it, but I'm sure it went well. Also want to shout out UCLA's women's softball team for winning the College World Series, their 12th title. Woo! They beat Oklahoma 5-4.
Yeah, didn't you say they creamed them last night or something like that?
Yeah, it was like 16-3 last night, and then tonight it was like 4-4, and then UCLA was able to win it in the bottom of the 7th.
Oh, good. Good for them.
I know. Suck it, Trojans. Yeah, they didn't play USC, but that's...
I was going to say, I thought you said they played Oklahoma.
They did, but, like, that's another title USC doesn't win. Yeah. And I think they're still alive in college baseball, too.
Yeah, suck a Trojan.
We can't win at basketball or football. We got every other sport covered. Gymnastics, softball, baseball, swimming, we got it.
That's right.
Just not the ones that make money.
The big bucks.
Yeah, bummer. Let's see, anything else? Nope, let's move on to some superhero shit. So this week's big release is X-Men Dark Phoenix, which I forgot was coming out until this past week. Because it just feels very much lost in the shuffle, and Fox is just getting it out because they have to.
Yeah.
Oof. Like, what a rough way for the X-Men franchise to kind of end.
Yeah, it's...
I haven't heard anything one way or the other with a movie, but it just seems like, you know...
See, I don't know. I'm not, like, really sold on the movie.
It's like, it's one of those, I just don't care.
Yeah. That's the unfortunate part, too, because I liked the cast that they had
X-Men. It's not the cast problem. You know, Santa Stark as Jean Grey is pretty cool, and, you know, they're doing the Dark Phoenix arc with her, because you guess you have to, because that's the Hallelujah or Freebird of the X-Men franchise.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of a bummer, because, like, I guess Apocalypse, just because it landed as such a thud, everyone's like, who cares?
Yeah, I could see that.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those, like, it legally made money, but, like, no one, just, like, you know, everyone
I love
just
that term,
shrugged.
Though. Like, it legally made money, but
it did.
You know it was just
well,
terrible.
Like, Batman Superman, like, made a ton of money, like, if you look at it, but no one, it just culturally just was a joke.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, like, especially my brother and sister's boyfriend, are like, no, you have to sit there and watch it again.
Don't. And like, people try to push that director's cut on you. Like, no, it's still a terrible movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It just tried to make everything happen at once.
Ugh.
I know. But anyway.
Yeah, we talked about that beforehand with
I know.
DC's...
Their movie division is getting better, but their TV division's killing it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm more of a Marvel guy anyways, but at least with, like, Marvel, their movies kind of, like...
They're all fine. They haven't had, like, one that's been, like, a disaster.
Exactly.
They haven't even had one that bombed. It's bombed in 10 years.
No.
They've all done adequate.
Yeah, and they've piggybacked off each other and, you know, supported each other, whereas I feel like DC's is just... Like, here, we're going to put on another movie.
But you don't even need to... You can just have a bunch of standalones and have them all be fine. Like, that's okay. Like, Shazam, you know, it doesn't really connect to anything, but it can.
No, I know, but, like, their whole thing starting out was like, we're going to compete with Marvel and build this whole cinematic universe and
I know.
All these characters, and they have all the great characters to do it. It's just, I think at this point, they kind of just... Yeah, we're not going to compete with it, so we're just going to do individual films.
Which is fine. Those have worked forever.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need
the
universe.
Actually going to be good.
Yeah, and so they've had a good three in a row.
Two out of three.
Well, you haven't seen Shazam.
Yeah, but Aquaman was kind of meh.
It was fine, but it was, you know, it was better than I thought it was going to be, and it really did, and it
that's
did
true.
Really well.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good
but,
point.
But, you know, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was better. It was better than Venom.
Yeah.
But anyway, with X-Men, James McAvoy said that they had done reshoots of the ending because I guess it had to like align with an unknown Marvel movie.
Yeah, the ending was too similar to a recent Marvel movie.
Mm.
So
I
wonder what that's going to be.
I don't know. I don't know. Could be Infinity War. Could be anything.
Yeah.
Well, not Infinity War. It'd be Endgame, I guess.
Well, you never know.
He
said it was a recent Marvel movie,
but
so...
I think this is the last run for, like, McAvoy and Jennifer Lawrence. Because, like, Apocalypse is supposed to be it for them, too, but... And that's why they had all, like, they had Sophie Turner and Jean Grey and a bunch of the other young people, but I guess they just, like, they moved them to a bigger house.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe, well, you know, years down the road, they're not going to sit there and redo it if Disney decides to do another X-Men.
But they
movie.
Said they won't for a long time.
Exactly. So, you never know.
No, I know. I just
maybe we get an older James McAvoy to come back and do.
No, I don't. I think he's done. Like he
or
just,
maybe a Sir Patrick Stewart.
No, he's done. No, he's done. Like Logan is it? Like it's
yeah.
The last time I want to see him as Professor X.
Oh yeah.
Unless it's for like a video or something.
Yeah.
Like something like just like an online thing. But as far as like, because Logan is the perfect way to go out.
Oh, absolutely.
Like in another universe, he would have been nominated for that.
Yep.
And don't laugh because Logan's screenplay was nominated at the Oscars.
I know, I saw it.
Just saying.
I was there.
But anyway.
I was there at home watching it.
Well, we'll get to James Mangold in a minute because he had a trailer drop this week. But another superhero shit. You had said there's... Keanu Reeves... Let's stay in Marvel for a second.
Yeah.
The Marvel's chasing Keanu Reeves, who's the iron hot right now.
Yeah.
Like Hansel. to be in the Eternals, which already has Angelina Jolie and Kumail Nanjiani. And they were circling Charlie Hunnam, apparently. But I haven't heard anything more about that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to... Kind of keep an eye on that. Cause
Keanu Reeves in the MCU, yeah. Sign me up.
I mean, another great, solid win for the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get another great actor.
Well, yeah.
Huh?
No, she's like, well, except for Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Well, it's still it's kind of credibility though, because like, you know, she's someone who's very much overqualified for a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
by traditional standards.
Well, and I think actors and actresses now are like, you know, no one thought that Marvel could do this, and then look what they've done.
I mean, she's also done Maleficent. She did a whole bunch of action movies in the mid-2000s. So, you know, she makes movies for her kids.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. A lot of them, when they first started out, were like, we're going to stay away from this, but now everyone kind of seems to be jumping in.
Because Iron Man had, you know, Jeff Bridges and Gwyneth Paltrow were weird gets, and so was Terrence Howard.
Yeah, but then later in the MCU, you get... Sylvester Stallone.
Well, I wouldn't say that's a huge get, considering... saying. But Escape Plan, you can get the guy from Escape Plan.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
Like Cate Blanchett and Tilda Swinton were huge. Because it's how the hell?
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you get, like... You can come in and make these, like, cameos and everything. And
or even just be the bad guy. Yeah. Like Cate Blanchett.
For, like, a couple minutes and...
No, I know. But that'd be really cool if Keanu Reeves joined the Eternals. I'm in.
Yeah, and for some odd reason, like, I saw a story where they said that they might try and cast Keanu Reeves as a Doctor Doom.
I don't know.
If he's going to be in Eternals, that would be kind of weird to.
Yeah, they're not going to double dip.
Yeah,
especially because they own Doctor Doom now.
Exactly.
Now, what was the so we have a Flash rumor as well.
Yeah, I just saw this today on a website called. Heroic Hollywood, where the big rumor is that they're going to recast the Flash yet again, and they're going to go with. Hang on, I'm pulling up the story right now. Supposedly they're going to get Lucas Till,
okay,
who played Havoc and X-Men First Class. So that's what everyone's kind of hearing, is that he might take over for Ezra Miller.
Ezra Miller. He really wanted The Flash to happen. They just never could get a director.
Yeah, and...
Which is another reason why their film division was kind of a tire fire. Because, like, they almost had a movie going with the guy that made Dope. And then Robert's ready to go, and then they scrapped it for whatever reason. And then Robert Zemeckis was almost a director for it, which would have been huge. Like, that would have been a big deal if it happened, but that never materialized, and they just had a whole bunch of just random people up for a Flash movie with Ezra Miller that never got to happen.
Well, that sucks, too, because, like...
And he was good! Like, he was, one of the few things I liked in Justice League.
Exactly. And especially with the success obviously the Flash on the CW has had, and the whole Arrowverse, it would be great to see a Flash... movie, but sure. I feel like with such a turnover rate they've had on directors and everything, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that I'm like, well, until there's a trailer, I'm not going to believe it happened.
Exactly. It's a great concept, but rumored
forever, and then this doesn't go. Also, Matthew Vaughn was talking about his plan for the Man of Steel trilogy, and he never got to do, which, look, I love Matthew Vaughn, don't get me wrong. And Kingsman movies are good. Kick-Ass was good. Stardust, you know, down the line. But, you know, his idea was, like, the first one, I think, would take place all on Krypton, and then it'd end with Superman landing on Earth, which is a huge gamble, because, like, you never want to make a movie assuming that the first one's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
That's always a mistake.
Yep.
Like, people go, well, Iron Man, but yeah, Iron Man was a good standalone movie. Like, you could have, like, not had the tag at the end. It would have been a fine movie. Like, by itself.
Yeah.
But, like, when you try to, like that's that was Dawn of Justice's problem. It was trying to be with five different movies at once.
Yeah.
I mean, it had more problems than that, but that was the core. Like, when you get to the root cause.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Trying to introduce everyone.
It tried to do everything at once and then just jumpstart every franchise. And guess what? It's a shit show.
Yep.
Whereas
I forgot about that.
Remember? Like, they tried to be
sitting there just searching the computer and...
Oh, yeah.
What?
I know, right?
Who are all these other people?
Well.
You're telling me that Lex Luthor is the one that...
Well, no, was it Batman surveillance? Oh, no, it was Lex Luthor's surveillance files that, like, Bruce Wayne hacked into.
Yeah.
There we go.
But Lex Luthor, out detective, the Batman.
Well, he just happens to have cameras everywhere. Like, he just knows the part of the ocean where Aquaman's going to be.
Yep.
He knows exactly the liquor store to hack into, and the Flash is, like, stopping muggers.
Yep. He's looking into
Cyborg's lab.
Yeah.
Like, he just knows where everything is, because sure. I'm bummed, because there was a lot of cool ideas in Dawn of Justice. It was made by a guy who, like, had utter contempt for Superman. Like, utter contempt for Superman.
Yep.
Which is fucked up, because it was supposed to be technically a Man of Steel sequel, but oh well. But anyway, Lucas Till, if he's the Flash, fine, but, like, tell me who's making it. Like, just tell me who's directing and who's writing, because that's all I care about, because you need that kind of talent.
Yeah, you need that type of, like, look at Wonder, information.
Like, yeah, like, Shazam worked because it was made really well, and Wonder Woman worked because Patty Jenkins is a good action director.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aquaman, for say what you want, but James Wan is a really fun director. Like, I saw he made Fast 7 work, which it shouldn't have worked, considering all that happened with that.
Yeah.
And he did the first two Conjuring movies and Saw. You know, he has a flair for popcorn movies.
Yeah, that's true.
And they allowed it to be weird, which is why I appreciated Aquaman.
Well, and, yeah.
It was fucking weird.
Yeah, it definitely was weird.
Like, Venom was weird, too, but it was also not good, even though I am very entertained by that.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. Like, Aquaman is just weird. Like, he could just smell his BO even under the water. I appreciated that.
That was good.
Just the stuff, eating the flowers. Like, all right, at least if they're allowing it to be fun.
Yeah.
Because DC movies are pretty dour.
Yeah, I will say, at least with Aquaman, they were able to kind of joke around a little bit, which is a nice kind of change of pace.
Wonder Woman did that, too.
Yeah.
Like, her and Pine were delightful.
Yep.
But, like, before it was just all, like, we want to be dark like the Nolan movies, but...
Yeah. Just we want to be dark and serious, but...
Dark and ominous.
Yeah, oh.
Do we have anything else in superhero shit? We need to get your brother on next week, because we really got to... Because, A, he's got to give us his DC login so we can catch up on Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I guess, the big thing that, DC announces that they're going to be closing down...
Vertigo, which gave you Swamp Thing, incidentally, and among other fine titles.
Yeah, and then they have this comic series right now where it's not Crisis on Infinite Earth, it's something else, it's something along those lines.
Okay,
but they just revealed who, like, the big villain is, and it's not really a villain.
Oh,
it's Wally West.
Oh.
Apparently he loses control of the Speed Force and he ends up killing a bunch of heroes.
Oh, my.
Now he's going to jail, and it looks like he might be casted in Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, very cool.
My brother's not too happy about that because it's, you know, Wally West, obviously, Kid Flash.
Well, look at the bright side. In comics, everything, you can reboot anything at any time.
Yeah.
It's like I can just do a six-issue run of this, and then someone else can make their own Kid Flash.
Yeah, he's still, like, pissed at it. It's like, and I'm sure a lot of people are.
Well, I know, but that's what comics lives on. I mean, that's why these things go forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they just reinvent them. Yeah. All right, I think that's about it for superhero shit. Now we got some fun trailers to talk about.
Yes.
What, you want to start with Rambo?
Yes.
Let's start with Rambo.
You got to start with John Rambo.
Rambo Last Blood. God bless you, Stallone, for either having enough self-awareness or no self-awareness.
I'm going to go with no, just because...
I know.
We're in the fifth installment of this movie.
He's back in the director's chair, baby, after the tour de force that was 08's Rambo.
Oh, man.
I fucking love Rambo 4 so much.
Yep. I remember when we were in high school.
No, we were at high school at that point. Oh, no.
No, we were in high school when they dropped the trailer, because I remember watching it
and we both had Majora for Recon.
Yeah.
He punches the guy's head off.
Yeah.
It didn't make it into the final movie, but he does, like, pull a guy's throat out.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yep.
But Last Blood, what are your thoughts?
Oh, it already has my money.
Yeah,
like, as soon as I heard, like, that he was making this movie, and then obviously seeing the trailer, I'm like, sold.
Yep, me too.
Like, Rambo movies are just...
Well, 3's garbage. Like, 3 I can't even defend.
Yeah, but it's just fun.
I know. Except for 3.
Dude, they're riding on horseback going up against Russian helicopters and tanks.
Yeah, that's very true. I know, just isn't as fun. Like, one is actually a legitimately good movie.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
First Blood's actually a really good movie.
Like, a really good concept.
Like, post-Vietnam. Well, the book's good, too.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, post-Vietnam, a soldier come back from Nam, and, you know, his country not really being there for him.
No one except, like, yeah.
His PTSD. But then you get to Rambo 2, and Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They learned all Rambo the wrong... 2. They learned all the wrong lessons, and they, for whatever reason, took it personally that Chuck Norris tried to do two missing in action movies before Rambo came out. True story.
Yeah,
that's a true story. Like they were trying to beat. I think it was trying to beat First Blood. They filmed both missing in action movies, but the first missing in action came out, and then Rambo came out, and then they did like delay the second one because they're like, oh shit.
Yeah,
because as we've learned time and time again, Chuck Norris's movies are terrible.
Yeah,
and he's only relevant because of Facebook.
Yep.
But anyway,
and the memes
and the memes. But yeah, Rambo looks incredible. I forget when it's coming out, but I think we're there opening night.
Yeah, I know that they just said it was coming out soon, but I mean the fact where it's, you know,
we're 11 years removed from Rambo 4, by the way.
Realize oh my it? God, yeah.
Because it came out in 08. It was January of 2008.
Wow.
I know.
I just love the fact that he's like, yeah, you know, I'm finally coming home and facing my demons and...
Yes.
I'm going to take out the people that have wronged me.
Like, didn't you do that already?
He's done that since 2.
I know, right?
Actually, since the first one.
Since those cops tried to run him out of town for no reason because Brian Dennehy was mean.
Yeah.
All he had to do was just be nice, just be polite to him, and none of that would have happened. But exactly. Oh no!
Or just leave him be.
They doubled down, yeah, and just, whenever you double down, it always goes wrong.
Hitchhike his way, across
your crappy Oregon town.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Rambo was awesome. Pixar last week dropped the first teaser for their movie coming out in 2020, Onward, which is what
looks fun.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the guy who I believe did Monsters University. It's about two elf brothers that have to go on a quest after their father dies. It's Chris Pratt and Tom Holland, so Spider-Man and Star-Lord together at last. Their mom's Julie Louis-Dreyfus, so I'm already in.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a Pixar movie. You're going to be in.
Well, I don't know if you read the really long group chat argument I had with Mondo about it.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, well, you know, they really screwed
the pooch on
it. I'm like, yeah, it looks man. Like, they've had a pretty good track record. He's like, oh yeah, Finding Dory. I'm like, hey, Finding Dory has a lot of enjoyable moments. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not the first one, obviously. I'm like, you liked Incredibles 2? Yeah, but it was entertaining. And Coco was whatever. I'm like, you monster.
Yeah.
Coco was harsh.
Yeah.
Like, that was, oh my God.
It gets you right in the feels.
It really does. And, you know, like, fine, I'll give you Good Dinosaur wasn't that great. But, like, Inside Out? Come on. Yeah. Like, they've been pretty consistent.
Yep.
And this looks like it's going to be more of the same. Obviously, the teaser doesn't tell you much. It's just because it comes out in March, so they got time.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. I'm sure when Frozen 2 comes out, that's when you'll see it.
You'll get a more in-depth trailer.
Oh, yeah, you'll get the full one that tells you everything that's going on.
Exactly.
But it looks fun. It's like a fairy tale world, but they, you know, they have houses and they have airplanes.
Yeah, it's like a modern-day fairy tale world.
So, I'm in. The Pixar, I have a lifetime pass with Pixar. They really haven't steered me wrong.
Yep.
Let's see. And then during game 2 of the NBA Finals, James Mangold, who did Logan and Walk the Line and 310 to Yuma and a bunch of other movies we like, released the first trailer for Ford versus Ferrari starring Matt Damon and Christian Bale.
Yeah, I haven't watched this one yet, but
oh my God. Like
the stills I've seen, like, great.
Dude, well, first of all, I watched it, I'm like, oh, that has Tom Campbell written all over it.
Yep.
And my dad, too. Like, you know, it's about Ford trying to build a car to rival Ferrari.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm in. Like, it's good. It's obviously going to be an awards player. Christian Bale, you know, looks human again.
Yeah.
Which, hey, you know, it's nice that he didn't really have to, like, turn into anybody this time.
It's true.
He didn't have to be Kirk Lazarus it for once.
And get a controversial surgery to dye his skin.
By the way, he should have won for Vice. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
But whatever, I digress. No, it looks good. Matt Damon is reliable as always. Let's see. Before we get to what's good, I did want to plug the Deadwood movie that it dropped on HBO on Friday. Finally, after like 13 years of being away. They got all the living actors back together. Nice. It was really kind of funny because they showed some flashbacks and they showed like Timothy Oliphant from like when the show was on, and you see him now, you're like, oh my god. But like I really noticed he leveled up as an actor since Justified, because like before he was just kind of stiff and very, like, he was good on Deadwood, but like he was still kind of stiff. But here you have, like, it was like that the fun kind of Justified stuff he got to do.
Oh, nice.
Like very, like more, just more quippy. Ian McShane is a beast as always. I love, you know, the dad from Hot Rod.
Oh, okay.
Also, you know, John Wick.
Yeah.
Like, Ian McShane as Al Swearengin is one of the all-time great roles on TV or in anything. And he damn it better win the Emmy this time because they screwed him over when the show was on. But it's a really good continuation of the story. It was really nice to see everybody again and watch and go, oh my god, like, that person was on Sons, that person ended up on Justified. Like, just the war that those two shows had to employ as many Deadwood actors as possible. But it was nice. It was a really nice movie. I'm really glad David Milch got to make it before, he was only in the early onset of Alzheimer's.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. But no, but that's kind of the story. It's why he got to, kind of why he got to do it.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about his life, it's kind of crazy.
Oh.
Lost a shitload of money gambling, major drinking problem. The problem with Deadwood before was they would always go over budget because he'd be writing stuff like as they're filming. And his writing is such that, like, first of all, he writes the most poetic profanity I've ever heard in my life. Like, honestly, it's like poetry. It's okay. Really long Shakespearean monologues with F-bombs and just other stuff in it. And their favorite sea sucker.
Nice.
I know. That's a good drinking game if you're playing the Deadwood game. It was Jesus Christ. But, you know, and he had a bad back, so he'd be writing on his back.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Anyway, good for him, though.
I know. And HBO kept trying to make other shows work. Like, Luck would have worked if all those horses hadn't died. Which, hey, apparently Santa Anita was the problem and not HBO. But anyway, I'm glad he got to make that as the last thing he ever does before he has to, like, pack it in.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you like the show, which it's one of those I recommend. A lot of people show up on it in the there's a really young Ron Swanson on the show in the second episode.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you see a lot of Ron Swanson in that one. Naked bar fight. I'm not kidding. Kristen Bell shows up in one of the episodes. Scully from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Wow.
It's a character actor delight, man.
Okay.
A lot of people, they caught a lot of people when they're young, like Sarah Paulson before she did American Horror Story.
Okay.
She's in it. A bunch of people. Like, it's a legitimately good show, and the movie I was very satisfied with.
Nice.
Anyway, now let's get to what's good. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, what's good for me is still binging Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Woohoo!
I am season three, I think midway through season three now.
Nice.
So, and still kicking myself for not starting, like, sticking with the show when it first aired. Like, it is just great.
Some of the best cold opens in the business.
Yeah, and I don't know, Captain Holt is just a treasure.
I don't know if you've gotten to it yet, but just the one where they're playing, they're trying to guess why Santiago's like 30 seconds late is like one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah. No, it wasn't even 30 seconds. It was like 18 seconds. Like some odd.
It was like 4 seconds late.
Yeah, and like, oh, I forget some of the excuses. It was like, oh, did the batteries on your alarm clock go out, or did you get robbed at the bank?
There was a problem at the bank.
Yeah, there we go.
Those mundane things.
Yeah.
No, that show's incredible.
Yeah, and then they just got rid of the Vulture
for their captain. God, I love the Vulture.
Yeah, he was great.
Okay.
The episode I just watched was or the one that I watched yesterday, speaking of Ron Swanson, is when Sergeant Terry's wife goes into labor with their third kid,
yeah,
and like their birth plan goes awry, and so Holt has to reach out to his ex-boyfriend, which is Ron Swanson.
Yes.
And just admit that you threw away the duck and everything. No, I'm not going to admit it. Like, well, then we're done here.
Have you gotten to Wunsch yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wunsch is great.
That bag of witches, I think it was one of the jokes he used.
There's
at some
so
point.
Many.
Yeah.
Like, that's Pat Oswalt as the fire marshal is great too.
Yeah.
Like, that show's incredible. I'm glad you're on.
Yeah, it's just, again, kicking myself that I didn't start it sooner or stick
it's
with
okay.
it.
And after once you get caught up in Brooklyn, you got to catch up on What We Do in the Shadows, because they had their season finale last week.
Yeah.
10-0. Like, I've never had a comedy season do that. 10 perfect episodes. Well, wow. Not perfect, but they're all hilarious in their own way.
Okay.
Like, and sometimes, you know, you can sometimes see some of the gags coming, but they're still pulled off perfectly.
Another captain I wanted to bring up was...
I'm always here for Captain Holt.
Bill Hader's
Captain
appearance for, like, an episode, or half an episode.
Mm-hmm. Ken Marino is, like, the doofus captain is great, too.
Okay.
Have you gotten to him yet?
No, not yet.
You know who I'm talking about, right? He's, do you remember Step Brothers? He's, like, McLovin's, like, stepdad or whatever. That guy. Like, look up Ken Marino. You'll know him. He's a that guy.
You mean, it wasn't Step Brothers. It was,
No, but it was Role Models, I mean. Excuse me, Role Models.
I was like, yeah, that guy.
Sorry.
I know who you're talking about, but it wasn't in Step Brothers.
No. He was in Role Models. Yeah. I mean. Yeah, that dude. He shows up as a replacement captain.
Okay.
He's incredible. Like, it's inexplicable he would be promoted to captain, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
They just have so many good plugs, and like you said, the cold opens are great.
Hitchcock and Scully are
just a treasure.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows was incredible. I'm so happy that it's coming back next year. It's worth your time.
Three?
No, two. This is only the first season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Taika Waititi came back for the finale, and it was pretty good. Like, is it they do one of the, like, the head vampire does, like, Ancestry.com. It's amazing.
That alone just sounds great.
Mm-hmm. And so does his familiarity. He finds out he's related to someone famous, and it's just like, oh. Like, I don't want to ruin it, because there's, like, a running gag with him all year.
Okay.
About him wanting to become a vampire, and then no one will turn him. Like, it just sucks. But also I wanted to plug, finally watched the last episode of Fosse Verdon. That was incredible. Just give Michelle Williams all the awards now, and then give Sam Rockwell too. Like, it was a great miniseries. It's not for you. This is just for me.
Fine. Be selfish.
Well, it's not your thing.
All right. I
you
trust
don't like,
you.
You don't like musicals or music.
Oh theater. Yeah. No, we're good then.
But he was a hell of a director, lived, blew his heart out too soon. Cause you know, he was the '70s. And he just had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But it was a really well-done miniseries, and I'm glad FX produced it and made it happen.
Oh, good.
And I might be talking about it with someone kind of close to it later, but we'll see. I'll book that. It's booking in the next couple weeks.
There you go.
Anyway, anything else?
No, that's it. I need to go out and see Godzilla.
Me too.
My brother saw it this weekend.
What do you say?
That's good. It's...
Okay.
You know, based on all the reviews and everything, yeah, critics don't like it, but all the...
But if you're into Godzilla movies, I heard it's, like, perfect for you. Like, well, you have to be in that, because it's, like, the Godzilla movies never had good human characters.
No.
Except for maybe the original.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, you know, Godzilla movies, you're going to see one thing, monsters fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to hear, like, the human drama, and that's, like, and I know that's
I had someone describe a shot that was in the movie, and I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, Ghidorah on top of the, on top of a volcano, and in the foreground there's a cross. I'm like, that's what I want. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way, I'm sure it looks great. I know a lot of people are bitching because some of the fights are at night, and you can't really see what's going on, which, all right, fair. But yeah. I'm in for the rest of it.
Exactly.
But hopefully we'll get to talk about that soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Either that, I'll drag my brother here and he can talk about it.
Well, no, don't do that. I'll just get mad. I just want to talk about DC because I really just want to see Godzilla.
That's it.
All right. Well, we'll be, Wes will be back next week. Maybe Brian. Maybe your brother will be here. Who knows?
We'll pull someone off the street.
We'll pull someone off the street. We'll have more NFL stuff. I'm sure more trailers will drop, especially because recording is on a Tuesday. So yeah. There's a lot of week left.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the NBA Finals will have had games 3 and 4 and possibly 5 by the time we record.
Yep.
And I'm sure more stuff will happen everywhere else. We'll be back, I'll be back in a minute with my interview with Kevin Perez Allen of Ravine Report. Say goodnight, Wes.
Goodnight, Wes.
All right, I'm being joined by Kevin Perez Allen, a co-host of the Ravine Report on Dodgers Lowdown. Kevin, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I can't complain. The Dodgers are kicking ass again. So
yes, thankfully. So this is feeling a lot like 2017, which is nice.
I know, because 2018, they were, like, really struggling at the gates. I'm like, oh, here we go. 2017 is their last shot, but they ended up proving me wrong, so. What are the differences you've seen with this team as opposed to 17 or 18 as far as World Series hopes?
Well, so it's interesting. A lot of people have been saying that I sound like Donald Trump right now. A lot of people are saying a lot of people have been talking about the fact that this team reminds them of the 2017 team in the sense that they don't ever seem to be out of it. You know, there's always a chance that they come back. I kind of learned that the hard way in that I left in the seventh inning of the game against the Mets. Last week, I think it was, where they came back and won after being down 8-3. So, I was a recipient of a lot of Twitter hate from that. But
you should always stay when they're playing the Mets because it's the Mets.
I tend to forget. I think I just assume that the Mets still have Billy Wagner for some reason. So it's like, nope, it's over. Oh no, it's the Mets, and Billy Wagner retired 10 years ago.
Mets.
it's always the Mets. Yeah, I mean, this is just a different team, I feel like, even from 2017. Because 2017, a lot of people don't remember the fact that they also kind of got off to a bit of a slow start and then went on that absolutely insane tear. I want to say starting in July it was. It might have been earlier than that. I don't remember exactly. But last year, I mean, you know, like you and I talked about off the air just a minute before, I mean, that 2018 team started off, they were, 16-26 at one point, 10 games under 100, and they just looked terrible. And they went on that great run, but there was something about last year's team where nothing ever felt right. Like, they couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. I think last year they were 26th in baseball with runners in scoring position. 2017, I think they were top 10, but this year they're number one. And that's what's so different about this year. One is the runners in scoring position. These guys can hit, and they hit in clutch situations, and that's just such a big difference from last year. Two, they're actually hitting against left-handed pitching, which is nice for the most part. They're absolutely destroying right-handed pitching, but last year, I mean, you might as well, when they were facing a lefty, you might as well have given them blindfolds and just said, here, go out and try it. I mean, you would have gotten the same result. It was really bad last year, as I'm sure you remember.
I do.
This year you're not getting that same problem, but it's the fact that Cody Bellinger is having just a season for the ages, and I think this is that next evolution of him, kind of what we expected after his rookie year, and then the fact that the starting rotation has been kind of under the radar but absolutely amazing. Ryu is a Cy Young candidate, and
who would have seen that coming?
Honestly, who would have thought? I mean, if anybody had seen that coming, somebody would have offered him more than a $17 million qualifying offer. I can guarantee you that.
I can't tell you how many times in the past like 2 years Ryu has been cursed on my group chat.
I'm sure he has. I mean, I've got a buddy who is a huge, huge Dodger fan, and you know, we go to games and stuff together, but he like has constantly been, oh, you know, he's too injured. I don't know that I would give him a contract. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, are you seriously kidding me right now? For the past 2 years, he's been the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, if you're just going by ERA and everything else, obviously he, you know, his groin fell off last year in the middle of the season, so he needed to rehab that. But I mean, he has been absolutely lights out and not overpowering. So he's not like Walker Buehler where it's just like, wow, this guy has ridiculous stuff. He's like Greg Maddux. It's just he knows exactly where to put the ball, puts it wherever he wants it, and you're going to have a hard time hitting it. So it's just the roster up and down has been incredible. And then that starting rotation has been amazing. I won't comment on the bullpen in this podcast.
Oh, no, we're commenting on the bullpen. That's the one thing, more so than anything else in that team, is the one thing that I curse all the time on Twitter, as you know, and on my group chat. Their fucking bullpen.
Yeah, the bullpen has not been great. I will give Kenley some credit, though. He has really turned it around, and he's been exactly what we had hoped he was going to be starting in, I don't know, his last seven appearances or something. He's been absolutely lights out, and he's throwing different pitches. He's not just throwing that cutter every time. He throws this absolutely brutal slider that nobody can hit, and he's placing his fastball. Plus, he's gotten the velo up a little bit, which is nice. So outside of Kenley, though, it's been an absolute shit show. Not a lot of fun.
Why is that? Because I thought when they traded Puig and everyone else to Cincinnati, I'm like, oh, okay, they'll save some money. Then they can go out and like just pick up pitching. Like I thought, okay, maybe they pick up Kimbrel or Keuchel maybe, but they're both in the Cubs and Braves respectively. But they haven't made any upgrades. I'm like, you guys, it's not like you guys are the money ball. You guys are the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, I mean, if there's one thing we've learned from Friedman, it's that he is not going to just free spend anymore. He's really trying to build it from the ground up. However, I will say, I think there's been a couple of issues that have happened. One, the Joe Kelly signing has not been what most people expected.
We'll get to him in a second.
It's not been what most people expected. However, I will defend him in the sense, I've been one of his biggest critics. However, I will defend him and say, this is kind of what he usually is. He's a middling regular season pitcher who steps it up in the playoffs.
That is polite.
And if he does that this year, then we're all good. Everything's fine, and he'll be that bridge guy in the playoffs. We'll just need to find somebody in the meantime who I think, despite the fact that he's had a couple of rough outings kind of here and there, Pedro Baez has been pretty solid this year as an eighth inning guy. I don't have a problem with him pitching in the eighth inning, but there's nothing else really. I mean, we do have Caleb Ferguson sitting in the minors right now, who has proven to be a very solid bullpen guy. We could always bring up a Dustin May. You know, we could bring up what's his name, Mitchell White, you know, and just see what they do, you know, for a little bit and see if that helps to stabilize things. But I think you're going to see the Dodgers make one or two moves for some bullpen help. But luckily, here's the positive news, despite the fact that our bullpen is absolute garbage. We have one of the best farm systems in baseball, and every
this is time, true.
Absolutely. And every time we bring somebody up and they mash, whether it's Bellinger or Seager or Verdugo or Will Smith or Beatty. I mean, Matt Beatty, you know, all these guys are just kind of coming up out of the blue and just playing like they've been there. You know, I mean, they're showing poise. They're not playing like rookies. You know, Verdugo has been hitting over 300 for the season, and he's hit a little bit of a lull lately, but even so, he still isn't, you know, he's not pressing too hard. You could see him just kind of figuring it out and making adjustments. And it says a lot about the coaching staff in the various systems of the minor league for the Dodgers, but also our scouting department, you know, as a team. They just know how to pick guys up, and that makes them even more attractive, even if they're not necessarily grading out really high on other teams' charts. You know, they might not have been like guys that they were looking at before, but because you're seeing guys that are just coming through the minors and playing really well once they get to the show, I think that ups their value a little bit. So just coming from the Dodger system, I think, gives you a bit of a bump, and it puts the Dodgers in a really good trade position.
Still, I'd really love it if they could just raid some, like, bad teams, like a bullpen or something. Like, Seattle, I know, is having a fire sale or yes. Something like that. Like, I just feel like I feel better if you had just that one guy, like, okay, I can trust this.
You know, I think we're going to see that. I mean, honestly, again, I have no inside knowledge of this, so don't don't come at me when the bet doesn't go well for you guys. But Sean Doolittle from the Nationals, I think that's a guy that the Dodgers are going to go really hard after.
Ooh, okay.
He was essentially unhittable last year. He's been really good this year. He's 4-1 with a 3.04 ERA and 13 saves. He's got a $6.5 million club option for next year. So he's cost controlled. And the Nationals just look like they're destined for a fire sale at the deadline. I know a lot of people are talking about wanting Max Scherzer, but we don't necessararily need that.
He's too expensive anyway.
Exactly. Same thing with if we decided to go back to the well, because the Reds seem to love trading with us, we could always go for David Hernandez, who's in their bullpen. He's solid. He hasn't had the greatest season this year, but he feels like one of those change of scenery guys.
That's true. I mean, getting back to the infield for a minute, like, how do you feel about Puig being gone? Like, they haven't missed a beat. It's been cool, but it just seems weird.
It does feel weird. I mean, I was one of the biggest Puig fans, and I still love him, and I still follow him with the Reds. I mean, it's hard not to love the guy. He just plays he's so much fun, and he plays with so much passion, and he clearly loves the game.
Was it strictly a salary thing, or was it a chemistry thing too? Because that's the thing I never quite figured out how the rest of the team felt about Puig.
I mean, you never know. You know, it's hard to tell because this team always seems to have fun. You know, 2017, they all seem to have a great time. Last year, a little less so. But you know, it didn't feel like Puig was at the heart of that. I know that there's been rumors of Kershaw and Puig not getting along and some other guys, but from what I gather, once Puig kind of got his act together a little bit, where he was becoming a more reliable teammate. Hold on, I think I lost you for a second there. Okay, so once he was becoming a more reliable teammate, it feels like he was getting along really well with guys. So I don't put too much stock in that. I don't think he was a clubhouse cancer like people.
No, I didn't. I'm not going to go that far.
But I mean, just his on the field product. I mean, he's another one that reminds me of, like, he's pretty good during the regular season. You know, he's a little over league average, but he turns it on in the playoffs. You know, he's that guy that is just clutch in those situations and in playoff situations and World Series situations. But, you know, I mean, he clearly didn't fit into what the Dodgers were looking at for the future. And yeah, he was about to get expensive. And I think Friedman saw that and saw that, like, you know what? I don't know that it makes sense to pay him when we have other needs elsewhere. And they brought up Verdugo, and Verdugo's been, he doesn't have quite that same power as Puig, but he's a better hitter than he is. You know, and Bellinger, you know, plays in the outfield for the first time and is like the best defensive player in baseball, you know? So it's like, all right, well, I guess there's no issues there.
Oh, that's good. I just wasn't sure. Cause it seems like it was a salary dump, but then again, you know how Dodger Twitter is. What about Justin Turner? Do you see him like being with the Dodgers for the future? Like obviously this year, but like beyond, cause I know he's in his mid 30s now. So
Yeah, I think he's 30, 32, something like that. Yeah, I mean, he's got a couple years left on his contract, I believe. I think it's this year, next year. I don't think he gets re-signed afterwards unless it's in, like, a utility role, like that Chase Utley role of, you know, a spot starter, a guy who can come off the bench, unless he's healthy, which doesn't seem accurate because he's basically made out of glass. And if he, you know, assuming he's hitting the ball and, you know, he seems like a guy who lasts into his late 30s as, you know, maybe as a bench guy or even as a DH, you know, the NL might get the DH soon. We don't know. There's always talk about that. So I don't think he is a centerpiece moving forward. I think this year and next year he still is. I mean, he's still hitting over 300 right now. But I think you're going to see, personally, I think Corey Seager is our third baseman of the future.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and I think Gavin Lux comes up to play shortstop or, you know, someone else like that, maybe Jeter Downs, depending on how quickly he gets through the minors. But, I don't know. I think Turner gets re-signed once his contract's over, but I think it's at a much lower rate. And I think
he's a
mentor, off the bench utility bat kind of guy.
Hopefully. And then where are you at on Kershaw?
So he's
certainly been a controversial figure.
He's been a controversial figure. And I would say that my Kershaw takes have been extremely controversial. Here's the thing. I've been very critical of Kershaw over the last couple of years. Part of it is because he set the bar so high with what he does. I mean, he's one of the few dudes to ever win an MVP and a Cy Young in the same season in 2014. I mean, right. He was just ridiculous, and he had such an insane stretch. And I would say he's going to go down as the greatest regular season pitcher in baseball history. But the playoffs come around, and it gets to him. He's an emotional player, and he's a guy that gets into his head. And that doesn't serve him well in the playoffs. Whereas we could say the same thing about Walker Buehler. He's also an emotional player, but he's a little bit different in that he's just so stupid confident and kind of a psychopath that he relishes those moments. He just turns it on in the playoffs.
You need guys like that.
What was that?
You said you need guys like that. The Red Sox had those guys last year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly. And that's what he's like. He's just a psychopath, Walker Buehler. And Kershaw isn't. Kershaw's a little more introspective. Kershaw's a guy that gets into his head. And that doesn't serve him well in the playoffs. And we've seen that over and over and over again. He's had some good starts, and he's absolutely shit the bed a few times. Unfortunately, people are going to remember the bad times in the playoffs more so than they are the good times. You know, I had an extremely controversial suggestion for the playoffs this upcoming year, because it's very clear the Dodgers are going to make the playoffs again.
Yes.
I would go with the three-man rotation. I would go with three-man rotation of Buehler, Ryu, and Hill, because all three of them are very good in the playoffs as starters. You know, I think you could get around any kind of rest issues because it's the playoffs. But I'd go with those three. I would move Kershaw and Maeda to the bullpen, because Maeda has just proven time and again that he just gets it done in the bullpen in the playoffs. But so has Kershaw. Kershaw has proven that he is a great bullpen pitcher in the playoffs. And I know it's going to be a problem. A lot of people are like, no, he's our ace. By the way, he's not anymore.
No, it's not. That hurts my feelings, because I love Kershaw so much.
It hurts to say it. I do, too. I want to see him win a championship. He so deserves a championship and a title. And the way to get that done is to move him to the bullpen and turn him into that, what was his name, for the Indians a couple years ago. Just that kind of all-purpose, bring him in anytime you need him to save the game kind of guy in the playoffs. God, what the hell was the guy's name? Andrew Miller. Turn him into that Andrew Miller. I can't keep wanting to say Greg Miller for some reason. Turn him into that Andrew Miller that the Indians had a couple years ago in 2016. Make Kershaw that guy in this year's playoffs. And I guarantee you he will absolutely excel in that role. And that's how you'll get him his championship that he deserves. It's not going to cheapen his legacy for him to do it in that way. Still,
it'll add to the story, because like, he, look at what he gave up. He didn't, you know, he didn't want, he could have been the ace, but he wasn't. He gave it up.
Exactly. And, it's part
like,
of the
Verlander kind of did that when the Astros won. Like, I know he was still starting, but it still felt like he, you know, he could have been the number one guy, but he wasn't.
Exactly. Exactly. And he won his title. I mean, he got his championship. And this is a chance for Kershaw to do the same thing. Honestly, I think the Dodgers are going to get back to the World Series. I don't think that there's a team in the National League that really can handle them in a five or a seven game series. Maybe a five game series. A team can definitely get lucky with three wins in five games. But in a seven game series, I don't think there's any team in the National League that's going to be able to handle the Dodgers.
And they'll have home field this time, so that'll help.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't do something about their bullpen. And if they make absolutely no moves this year, which I don't think that's going to happen. But if they make zero moves for the bullpen, moving Maeda and Kershaw to the bullpen completely fixes that issue for the playoffs.
Agreed.
So, you know, that's just my thoughts, you know, but I don't know. I love Kershaw, but I think make him the Andrew Miller of the Dodgers bullpen this upcoming year.
Yeah, it's time. I mean, he's put in enough miles already. Why not do what you have to do to win a title?
Yes, get him his goddamn championship and let him retire with a championship. Let him not be that guy. I don't want Kershaw to be Dan Marino, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would suck.
I mean, and I'm worried that might happen if he's, you know, the ace in the playoffs again.
And where are you at on Roberts? Because that's another controversial figure in Dodgers lore.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very critical of Roberts in the past as well. I honestly think he's fine. He's a good manager, but he's not. I would say my problem with Roberts is that he's not a good manager of his pitching rotation. And I don't know if that's on him or if that's coming from the front office. I mean, there's always that controversy of like, well, is it actually him making the decisions? And nobody's ever really gotten a straight answer one way or another, nor will we ever get a straight answer.
I'm still surprised they brought him back. I'm like, why? It just never feels like he has a handle on what's going on, especially in the Boston series.
Oh, yeah, that Boston series, it was ridiculous. And generally, I'll defend him with the lineup. I think he puts a good lineup out there. But I think that Boston series, he put an awful lineup out there the first
season. Like, he felt like a sleeper agent for Boston.
It kind of, yeah. It almost felt like, hey, guys, thanks for getting me my World Series title, so I'm going to give you another one, and then I'll just win one next year. You know, that's kind of how it felt with him. Obviously, that's not the case, but he should have won.
I don't know that.
Austin. but I don't know. I think he's a good manager. Do I think he's like a Hall of Fame great manager? Absolutely not. But here's my one positive from him right now, though, is it does seem like every season he seems to learn a little bit from his mistakes. He's actually progressing, which is nice. I feel like this year he managed the team and the bullpen and the lineup much, much better than he has in the past. He's sticking a little bit more with like riding the hot hand versus, especially with the lineup, versus like, well, nope, right-handed hitter, you know, or right-handed pitcher, I'm going to put in a bunch of lefties, even though this guy's raking right now. You know, he's kind of, I feel like he's playing a little more by feel rather than just very robotic.
So 2019, Dave Roberts doesn't start Yu Darvish in Game 7?
I think 2019 Dave Roberts shoots 2017 Dave Roberts in the head for starting Yu Darvish in Game 7.
Yeah, how's that working out, Cubs?
Yeah, great contract there, guys. Here's the thing, too. Like, I know everybody wanted Kimbrel, and I was on that bandwagon, too, but absolutely not for 3 years and for that amount of money. That was bad. That is a terrible, terrible contract. The Braves, I can give them a pass for the Keuchel contract.
What did he sign for? I didn't see the numbers.
It's 1 year and like $14 million or something
We could have done that.
He easily could have done that, but we don't need Keuchel. And also, the reason Keuchel took that deal is because he's regressing, and he's been regressing for the last couple of years. And his biggest problem is he gives up the long ball, and that's exactly what our rotation does not need. So I'm fine with not getting Keuchel. I didn't really want him. Kimbrel, I did want because I feel like he would have been a good asset for the bullpen. However, not taking over as the closer and not a goddamn 3-year deal at just a ridiculous amount of money. It made no sense for the Dodgers.
Even the Red Sox people like laughed at that because they knew he was a heart attack on the mound. You know,
exactly. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm happy we didn't overpay, and that's why it makes me really happy that Friedman is our GM. Or our president, and not, you know, random dudes on Twitter. So,
well, I mean, did you see Bellinger's MVP season coming? Because he's going to win the MVP. I'm very confident that's happening.
I agree with you, and 1,000,000% no. No, I did not. I absolutely didn't see him winning the MVP or having this kind of season. I thought he would be, I was hoping he would be a little better than he was last year. My hope was like, okay, bounce back to a little bit closer to what you were your rookie year. You know, his rookie year, he was good. He hit like 267, I want to say, 270 around there. But remember, he had 39 home runs. He was good in the playoffs. You know, I think he finished like top 10 in MVP voting, and he was rookie of the year and stuff. Last year, he had a little bit of a regression. His OPS, his batting average, they all dropped a little bit. I remember he was struggling, striking out a lot. I think his strikeouts went up and his walks went up a little bit. But this year, I don't know exactly. I think it's around 40. He's at exactly the same amount of walks as he is strikeouts. It's like it's just under 40. And he's just having an absolutely insane season. He's seeing the ball well. His swing is, and that was something I noticed in his rookie year, he's got this really violent, really quick swing that generates so much power, even though he's a tall dude, but he's a tall, lanky guy. He's not like a big, powerful.
He's not Judge.
No, he's not Mike Judge or Aaron Judge, exactly. Nor is he Mike Judge, because not everybody can create King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead.
Space and Idiocracy and Silicon Valley.
That's what I'm saying. Literally everything Mike Judge is amazing. Everything Mike Judge does is amazing. I would argue the same thing for Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is also amazing, and he's just a big monster of a dude.
Cody Bellinger's always hurt.
Exactly, that's true. Well, that again, Cody Bellinger isn't that. He just has this really interesting, violent lefty swing that just it's fast and it generates a ton of power. You know, and I love that. I love his swing, and every time he goes up there, it's exciting. It kind of feels like some of the best years that we had with like Sean Green or that 2004 what's his name, Adrian Beltre season, or
the early years
when we had Mike Piazza. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that, but back in the day,
Mike Piazza is my second favorite, or probably my favorite Dodger of all time. It's him and Kershaw, but still, it's close.
Wait, did you say him and Jeff Shaw?
No, Kershaw.
Oh, I was like, really, Jeff Shaw?
No, no, no.
I don't think that's that great of an acquisition.
That would be a heat check on my part. No, I loved Piazza as a kid. It like hurt my feelings when he went to the Mets, but I'm like, whatever. I guess he's in a World Series.
No, for sure. Yeah, it really killed. It killed me, and not to go too far back in the time for some of your listeners here, but it killed me when they traded him. When then they went out and gave Kevin Brown more money and more years than what Piazza was asking for. Just in that next offseason, it pissed me off to no end. And I remember talking to Fred Clare, who was the Dodgers GM. I interviewed him last year a couple times about that. And he was just as pissed off. He didn't want to make that trade. They forced his hand in making that trade because they didn't want to pay Piazza. It was just like, it was frustrating because that was right when Fox had taken over the Dodgers, and they absolutely gutted the team and just turned it into a total shit show.
Before McCourt, right?
What was that?
This is that was before McCourt?
That was before McCourt. Yeah, Fox bought them from the what were they? The people who moved them out here. I can't remember their names. Oh, the O'Malleys. Fox bought them from the O'Malleys, and then McCourt bought them from Fox, and then the Guggenheim Group bought them from McCourt. But yeah, the Fox and then McCourt just ran them into the ground. It's amazing that we even had playoff years during that time of that crappy ownership, those two shitty ownership regimes.
I would say both ownerships, like, my God.
Oh, so bad, just so bad. But yeah, no, I mean, it Bellinger reminds me of those days watching Piazza. Like, every time Piazza came to the plate, it was like, dude, this guy's going to hit a home run, or he's going to get on base or something. Because he was just such a monster at the plate. And that's what this Bellinger season feels like. And my hope is that this is kind of him moving forward. This feels like him just progressing rather than an anomaly season. You know, this just feels like he is putting it all together, 23 years old, still not even in his prime. And he's just, you know, he reminds me of, like, this is like what Mike Trout did, you know, where he's just amazing every year. I feel like Cody Bellinger is now kind of in that realm where, same with like Christian Yelich, they put it together and they're just going to be amazing every year. I think NL MVP is going to be Yelich or Bellinger pretty much every year.
Yep. And by the way, poor Mike Trout. I know he signed the huge deal, so it's on him now, but
yeah,
God, that's got to be depressing.
Seriously.
You won't admit it. He was like a really nice guy, but why would you want to stay there?
Yeah, I'm sorry if there's any Angel fans that listen to you, but that park is garbage.
Yep, like, that's why they want to move to
Long Beach.
Long Beach, or what was it before that made Tustin. Me laugh so hard?
Yeah.
It was like
the Los Angeles park. Tustin Angels of Anaheim.
There we go, the Diamond Exchange.
Yeah, exactly. just absolutely ridiculous. Just so stupid. One, I don't want to – it just wouldn't make sense to have a park right there. But two, just really, Angels, like, get your shit together. Go fucking play at Disneyland or something. You know, it's
sad.
Just, I'm so glad I'm not a fan of that goddamn team.
I know. But
I feel so bad for Mike Trout, though. Like, I get it. He made his money, so I can't really feel too bad for him because he's making a lot of money. But – you know, you're never going to win a championship. They hand out such stupid contracts. I mean, anybody from a mile away could have seen how horrible a contract it was going to be to give Albert Pujols. And I'm a guy who's – I'm a really big, like –
that's not even the dumbest one.
That's not even the dumbest one. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, they handed out
– Josh Hamilton, I argue, is way worse, even though he's not on the team, but they're still paying him, right?
Yeah, that Josh Hamilton contract was pretty awful. Remember, there were some really terrible contracts handed out for a while.
Kinsler was one of them.
Oh, yeah. There was also that pitcher. Who was the pitcher that they gave a bunch of money to? They took him.
Wasn't he on the Rangers? Well.
Yeah, he was another guy from the Rangers that they grabbed. They really went after that 2010, 2011 Rangers team roster, thinking that it was going to be magic for them when everybody was past their prime. But, yeah, I just – it that – Pujols' contract, though, it's bad because it was such a long period of time and the guy was already starting to decline. Like, you needed to win a championship within the first 3 years of picking him up. Otherwise, yeah, it was just going to be an albatross, and that's what it is. I'm a big high AAV guy, so mm-hmm. I'm like a, you know, if they're an older guy, even if they're a younger guy, I'm going to give you 4 years and like $50 million a year. You know, like,
I don't know why baseball does the long years, because like they should really adopt more of an NBA system where it's like 4 or 5 years the most.
Exactly. It absolutely should be.
Because even the Harper deal, like, it's going to be cool for the first few years, but like when he's, what, 36 or 37 and he's making like 40 a year, it's like, this is depressing.
Yep. Same with Machado. It's the same thing. If you're going to be, you're just locking yourself into a long-term clusterfuck, basically.
I get why the Padres would do that with Machado, even though he's probably not going to be there by year five. I just have a feeling. But I think
he'll be there like 6 or 7 years in. I don't hate the Padres-Machado deal as much as I hated the Phillies deal with Harper, because the Padres, honestly, I think are like a year or two away from being a legit World Series contender.
Nope.
They have so much talent. And I know Friar Phil would cream his pants listening to this right now. But I really think if their talent, even most of it, pans out, that's a really, really dangerous team. And that's kind of a Dodgers or Padres in the World Series two years from now.
I don't know. I just think they're gonna end up trading people because, like, they'll. I don't know. It just feels like it feels like the Padres from like the mid-2000s are just unloading all their good players because they can't afford to keep them.
Generally, I would say yes, that's what they do. But I think the whole point of signing Machado was to get butts in the seats. You know, when they have like their young talent, it's exciting for like the hardcore Padres fans. But there's never like a big name to bring people there, and that's where they have to kind of jettison that talent. Or I think the plan with Machado was like, this is a big name, huge free agent. If we go ahead and pay him, it'll make up for itself, the contract, by bringing people to the stadium. And I think we've seen that. Obviously, anytime the Dodgers play in San Diego, it's going to be a Dodgers home game. But I think when they've played other teams, you've seen actual people come to the game. And I think Padres fan, or, you know, San Diego fans are showing up to games now because of that, which is good for them.
He gives the Padres legitimacy.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely gives them legitimacy. I mean, Tatis Jr., you know, they've got a lot of young talent. This year is not going to be the year, but I think next year they're a playoff contender, maybe a wild card team. And I think the year after that, they're like challenging the Dodgers for the NL West title and potentially a World Series berth.
That seems like a very weird thing to actually see.
The Padres in the World Series?
Yeah, just because for so long they've just been a doormat. I'm like, I just can't picture it, you know?
I mean, the last time it happened, they got swept by a ridiculous Yankees team, and they kind of just...
Everyone was going to get swept by that team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, I want to get you out of here on this. So do you think the Dodgers actually win the World Series after 31 years?
So speaking as a hardcore long-term Dodger fan who actually does remember the 88 series,
wasn't around for that. It was 1 year too late.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I was 6 years old. I just turned 6 years old, and I remember where I was. I remember I was like at a Mexican restaurant with my dad and my little brother, watching the game, and there was a bunch of people there when Gibson hit that home run. And then I was at home with my mom watching Game 5 when Hershiser closed it out. And as a kid, I just assumed, oh, of course the Dodgers are going to win. It's the Dodgers. They're the good guys. They're going to win. You know, of course we're going to win the World Series. And we're going to win it next year and the year after, too. Little did I know. But I'm saying, speaking as a long-term Dodger fan, I would say yes, because I'm optimistic and I think that this is a great team. Speaking as just a baseball observer who does a podcast every week on this, I'm going to say I think this is it. I think this team is better than the Astros. And anybody on Astros Twitter, at me. I think they're better than the Astros. I think they're a better team than the Yankees. I don't think the Red Sox get back this year. They just don't feel like the same team. Tampa Bay is good, but I think the Dodgers showed that they're just a lot more talented than Tampa Bay. And then Minnesota is good, but I think they're kind of, I think they're overachieving. I think they come crashing back down to earth in the second half of the season. They're still going to win that division, but I don't think they're just this world beating team like they, as they've looked like in the first half. So I really think the Dodgers are the class of the NL, and I think they're the class of MLB. I think they win it this year.
Who would they play? Who do you think they beat in the World Series and in how many games? It's okay. You can be wrong. It's June. Like we can.
No, I know. I know. You know, if you would ask me a couple weeks ago, I would have said the Yankees.
Oh, that'd have been nice.
It would be great to see that. But I mean, I'm leaning more and more as the season goes on towards a 2017 rematch with the Astros.
Ooh.
And I'll be honest with you. I think the Dodgers take it in six.
Wow. Yeah. I hope you're right, because I'm really still traumatized from that game five in 2017.
Yeah, I am too. I'm still talking about that.
Oh my god.
I think it's I think the Dodgers take it in six. I think this is
good. That's the last title I need on my my life bucket list. My Rams have I've lived to see a Rams title, five Laker titles, and two Kings. It's time for a World Series. Damn it.
I'm with you on that. However, that Rams title for me, while it was exciting, it wasn't quite. It wasn't quite like if they won it in L.A. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was loving it. I was a senior in high school, and I was super excited. But
that's all I had for a very.
Yeah, that's all I've got, basically, too. I think the Rams can run it back this year and end up winning it. Yeah.
That's my beat. So I know I love what I've been hearing. So I'm at least encouraged that they'll be better. They won't drop off like most Super Bowl hangover teams do.
No. I'm with you. So, but yes.
Who's MVP? Is Bellinger MVP when they win the World Series?
Is Bellinger MVP of the World Series? I'm actually going to say no, and I'm going to give World Series MVP to Joc Pederson.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Joc hits a couple of big home runs and wins World Series MVP. Yeah, I think it's Joc or it's Kershaw, just because it's Kershaw. Assuming Kershaw doesn't shit the bed at all, I think they just give it to him just because of who he is.
And I'm sure the entire city will just explode when they win, because that's like the one team like besides the Lakers that it would really like riot the city.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna burn down the city of Whittier if the Dodgers win.
And I'll burn down Santa Clarita, although it deserves it.
I mean, doesn't that happen every year, anyways? Let's be honest.
It does. Yeah, we don't need the Dodgers to help. We just have Mother Nature.
Exactly.
We light it on fire at least twice a year.
Climate change, baby. Get used to it.
I know. Thank you. It's Kevin Perez Allen. You can check him out on the plug your show.
The Ravine Report. Yeah, check it out. We're on iTunes. We're part of the Dodgers Lowdown Network. And we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, basically anywhere that you find podcasts. And you can follow me on Twitter at @KevIsYourFriend.
You're a great follow, and thank you for being on my show.
Hey, thanks, Chauncey. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.